Former Congressman Peter Hoekstra was chairman and later ranking minority member of the House Intelligence Committee. The Michigan Republican served 9 terms in the House, and he now works for a Washington law firm and at a Washington think tank. Mr. Hoekstra, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
You were a senior member of the committee that oversaw the CIA during the years described in the Senate report, the years after 9/11. First, do you share its general conclusions, number one, that brutal interrogations produced little, if any, actionable intelligence?
No, I don't agree with those conclusions at all. I think that in the mosaic of gathering intelligence, I personally believe that some of the intelligence that was received through the interrogation, the enhanced interrogation process, did help us more effectively combat the threat from radical jihadists.
To take one major point, though, one claim disputed by the Senate report is that those interrogation techniques produced information that led to Osama bin Laden. The report suggests that what was learned about bin Laden's courier, the main piece of intelligence, came from conventional interrogation methods. Do you agree with the agency or with the senators on that one?
No, I agree with the agency on this. I think in many ways the agency is getting a very much a bum rap by this Senate report. The business of intelligence is about connecting the dots, and I'm firmly convinced that through the enhanced interrogation techniques, we collected dots that eventually helped us plan missions, including the raid on bin Laden that ultimately killed bin Laden. And so enhanced interrogations were part of that process to develop the full set of information that was necessary.
Judging from your reaction to the report and what the CIA said in reaction to release of the report, it sounds to me as though you would have no problem with the CIA still waterboarding terrorist suspects.
No, that's a fair that's an unfair characterization.
But where do you find anything wrong with what's been done? I mean, you seem to have felt it was all justified.
Well, no, we haven't talked. I think having a very fair discussion, a bipartisan discussion as to exactly what enhanced interrogation techniques worked, how effective were they, what alternatives were available, I think that would be a very worthwhile and meaningful discussion to have. And I'm disappointed that this report that came out from the Senate was only endorsed by Senate Democrats. And that it was not a bipartisan report, and that some of the people who were involved in this process were never even interviewed. And, you know, there were parts of this thing, this process, that I disagreed with very strongly when Jose Rodriguez destroyed tapes of waterboarding.
He was a CIA counterterrorism.
He was a CIA counterterrorism head. You know, in Congress, when we found out that those tapes were available, we requested access to those tapes to view them. And the CIA destroyed them. I very much disagreed with that, and I thought that Jose Rodriguez or whoever made that decision should be held accountable either through proceedings by the Justice Department or a reprimand by Congress.
But just to be clear, though, when the agency says that its techniques led to bin Laden, among the interrogations they're talking about is the interrogation of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and I believe Abu Zubaydah. I mean, they accounted for most of the waterboarding being done. So I'm not quite sure whether you're saying that is effective and it leads to actionable intelligence that helps to achieve important strategic goals, or whether it should be stopped. It should have been stopped.
Well, what I can tell you is at the time, when briefed on enhanced interrogation techniques and shown or verbally described exactly how those techniques would be used, where they would be used, and their effectiveness in the past, the Republican and Democratic leadership in the House on intelligence all agreed that those should continue to be viable options for our intelligence community to use, depending on the circumstances and depending on the individual that may have been apprehended.
Let me ask you a question about one word, torture. The Senate report describes the treatment of an Afghan man in his mid-50s named Arsala Khan, who was believed to have helped bin Laden flee in 2001. 56 hours of standing sleep deprivation, after which he's described in a CIA document as barely able to enunciate and suffering hallucinations. Then 2 days of being allowed to sleep, then 21 more hours of sleep deprivation. Eventually freed and compensated. He was of no use, it turned out, as an intelligence source. Would you say that he was tortured?
I would say that you know, there's a legal definition for that, and the procedures and the techniques, and this is hiding behind a legal description, but that the Justice Department and internal attorneys within the administration would have said that that was not torture.
But, I mean, in common English, would you say that man was tortured by his interrogators?
I think reasonable people could say that that man was tortured, but, you know, where we're getting into now is we're, and, you know, this is always the hard part of intelligence and these types of things, designing and determining exactly where you will cross the line and you move from enhanced interrogations into torture, and different people will draw that line at a different place. Was I uncomfortable with some of the descriptions of some of the activities as they were outlined to me? Yes.
Since you agree with the CIA's appraisal that indeed these techniques did produce actionable intelligence and they led to very important goals like getting Osama bin Laden, as the U.S. looks forward to, say, coping with ISIS in Iraq or Syria, or dealing with other groups that pose terror threats either to U.S. interests abroad or to the United States, should we restore these techniques? Should we say, you know, someone who's detained and might be linked to such a group should be potentially subjected to sleep deprivation, waterboarding? Should we say, yeah, let's go back to what we were doing in the years right after 9/11?
No, we should never go back and just do it. What we should do is a very common practice in the business community where I came from, or the military, or the intelligence community. We should do a lessons learned. What we need today on foreign policy, what we need in the intelligence community, is we need bipartisanship agreement. We have real threats that are out there. We need America to come together with strategies to confront these threats effectively for the long term, and a discussion, an informed discussion on the use and effectiveness of enhanced interrogation techniques is totally appropriate. And that should then frame where we move in the future.
Peter Hoekstra, former Congressman Peter Hoekstra and former Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Hey, great. Thank you.
Elsewhere in the program, a former military interrogator, he disputes the value of enhanced interrogations. He'll explain the different techniques he used to help get the information that led U.S. forces to the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq. Meanwhile, you can read excerpts from that Senate intelligence report and hear more interviews from many other players in this story at our website, npr.org. If you want to reach out to the show directly, you can contact us there as well or on social media sites. Visit us on Facebook and Twitter. The handle for both pages is NPRATC.